Ian Pickus here in the Congressional Corner with Tim Versalotti, professor of political science at Western New England University. And real heads, real Congressional Corner heads, will notice that I have changed my introduction for you on this show. We used to, for many years, refer to the Western New England University poll, but things are changing. Tim, tell us about it.
Yes, they are. And so the Western New England University Polling Institute started in 2005, even a few years before I got here. I joined the university faculty in 2008. It was set up to give our students exposure to survey research, hands-on exposure, by hiring, training, and employing them as telephone interviewers, as we did statewide surveys in Massachusetts. Periodically, we would do local surveys in Springfield or other communities. Every now and then, we'd do neighboring states as well, in particular, Connecticut. This was a super way to train students, not just in how to conduct telephone interviews, but also the design of questionnaires. They had to be sensitive to wording and to question order in terms of the computerized skip patterns we had programmed in. And they really had to be attuned to ambivalence when respondents were giving their answers. So for some of our students, this was an entry point into learning about questionnaire design, sampling theory, and it was just a really terrific part of our curriculum. In the olden days, we could do a statewide survey in 4 or 5 nights. We could get a sample of 500 or 600 completes because people were still picking up the phone. We added cell phones. We'd been dialing landlines in the early years, added cells in 2010, continued onward. Our field periods would get longer and longer. You'd have to dial more and more numbers to get folks to pick up.
Oh, boy.
And after a while, it became clear that the survey research field was changing in such a way that a little telephone center like ours was not really the way to educate our students on survey research anymore. These days, polls are adopting multiple methods. So you might do address-based sampling, send letters to those respondents, then follow up with a phone call or a link to a survey online. Some survey organizations are doing pure online surveys that are not really probability samples, but they're doing some very sophisticated approaches to simulating what a random sample might look like. It's making this process much more automated and far less labor intensive, which is probably good for the cost of polls, but not so great if you're trying to give your students some hands-on experience in survey research. So last year, we had a lot of conversations here at the university about what to do next. It felt as if we needed to find new ways to engage our students in service, in public policy, and we decided to move on from telephone polls to explore other ways to involve our students in the community. And that conversation is continuing now. So we no longer have the polling center, but man, it was a great run. And we had more than 2,000 students working there. They got wonderful experiences, and so did I. It was just a terrific way to teach.
And we're very grateful, of course, that that's not going to affect your relationship with WAMC and this show in particular. So you'll still hear Tim Versalotti on in his role as a political science professor. So speaking of all those students, many of them, to pass high school, had to get through the MCAS exam. And that could be changing in Massachusetts. Tell us about the ballot questions.
Oh, they sure could. We've been talking about this in class, and our Massachusetts students have very clear opinions on this. So question 2, would eliminate as a requirement for graduation from high school that students pass MCAS, the Massachusetts Comprehensive Assessment System exam. Now, students take this in 10th grade, and they take exams in the areas of math, English, and science and technology. And they have to demonstrate a minimum proficiency in order to receive a high school diploma. Of the thousands of students, I believe it's about 70,000 high school grads in mass every year, about 700 struggle to meet this standard. And it's possible to retake. If they can't meet the standard, they still get a credential, but not the traditional high school diploma. And so there has been a move to strip this from the graduation requirements. It is a move endorsed by teachers, endorsed by the Massachusetts Teachers Association. The argument is having this test forces teachers to teach to the test. It is a source of stress and anxiety for students, and it's particularly difficult for students for whom English is their second language. So the ballot initiative would eliminate this as a graduation requirement. It has divided politicians in Massachusetts. Some are hesitant to support this because they would prefer a uniform standard across all of the school systems, as opposed to leaving individual school systems to determine their own graduation requirements. But others are saying, yeah, we absolutely ought to move on from this because it's just not a great way to teach. So, for example, Elizabeth Warren supports this question. Her Republican opponent in the Senate race, John Deaton, opposes getting rid of the MCAS requirement.
And Governor Maura Healey also opposes getting rid of it. They are pointing to her administration, you know, the need for some sort of standard in place. So can you take us through the other ballot questions too?
Sure. Question one, and we've talked about this one on multiple occasions.
Yes, the DiSaglio question.
Exactly. Diana DiSaglio, the state auditor, wants the power to audit the state legislature. That office does not have that power. And under the current Massachusetts Constitution, it's unclear. And in fact, our state attorney general, Andrea Campbell, has said it's not constitutional in terms of the checks and balances. DiSaglio could not get this authority through the conventional means of the legislature. So she's taken the question to the people. And it's polling very positively. A recent UMass Amherst poll showed 63% in favor, 11% opposed, 26% not sure. That's a pretty high not sure. That means there could be some loosely held views here. But it at this point in time, the yes vote is very, very strong for this question. Question three would allow drivers for Uber and Lyft the ability to form unions to collectively bargain for wages, benefits, and working conditions. That's got support, again, from this most recent UMass poll, from 58% of voters, 27% opposed. Question four is the most complicated and most uncertain one in terms of polling. This would allow individuals 21 and older to use what are called natural psychedelic substances found in mushrooms and plants at approved locations under the supervision of a licensed facilitator. The UMass poll showed voters evenly split, 43% in favor, 43% opposed, 14% unsure. And then the final question, and this one has also brought endorsements and some concerns from political figures. Question five would gradually increase the minimum hourly wage for tipped workers, which is at $6.75 up to the current Massachusetts minimum wage of $15 over the next 5 years, so that tipped workers, and this is primarily wait staff in restaurants, would be paid the full state minimum wage by January 1st, 2029. That's relatively popular in the UMass poll. It polled at 61% in favor, 27% opposed, 13% unsure. Governor Healey proposes voting against this question. She has heard from restaurant owners who are concerned that this would force them to raise their prices, eat into their margins, which were already in some cases pretty shaky, as we saw during the COVID pandemic. And so, although it's popular with the public, the business community doesn't think this is a good idea.
Tim Versalotti, we're so appreciative of your insights and all of your time. And if we don't talk before the election, good luck on election night, and we can't wait to have you back on to make sense of whatever happens.
I'll be ready. I look forward to it. Thank you, Ian.